You're listening to DraftKings Network. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
What the hell's going on here? Honestly, what's happening around here? I get a call during the break from Dan Patrick's people, and now he's on here. And Dan Patrick was so goddamn helpful to us in making this jump.
DP.
Toward freedom. Thank you, Stugatz. Mm-hmm. What is happening here? Dan, this can't be serious, what's happening right now.
Wait, Mike, did you not tell Le Batard what's going on? Like, what am I missing here? I apologize, because Dan was surprised when I said, I got the Danettes here. I got Seton and Paulie ready to welcome Mike Ryan to take over for McLovin's seat here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Score. Congratulations. Yeah.
You know what, Mike? You're not going to be treated, you know, that shitty here. I mean, we're going to treat you with respect. All right? I'm going to be a Dan you love.
This is not good. I don't like what's happening here.
This is, look, I've been public about my exclusive negotiating window no longer being the case, and I'm open to talk to some folks. And yeah, I'm friends with Paulie and Fritzy and Seton. And look, this is.
Remember Atlanta, Mike, when you and Paulie, it was kind of like your Durant and Kyrie Irving at the All-Star break, media night. You spoke to each other.
It's good times. There's very few people in the world that know what this job's like, and Paulie and I share that. And this is okay. This is interesting. And you're on television, which is something I miss.
Yeah. And this is a show people listen to and watch. Like, you know, that's, you know, something unique as well. But look, I got a chair right there for you, yeah. And Fritzy is waiting for you in the back row. We can negotiate coming to the front.
Back row.
Back row.
Back row. We can have some discussion.
Oh, God. Yeah. He's a front row guy.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. All right.
More of a captain share guy, but we can talk that out. What happened to McLovin, though? Just out of curiosity.
Where is McLovin? What if, Mike, did you, meeting with Paulie, nuke McLovin? So that, where is McLovin?
No, look, it's a relationships business. I'm friends with Paulie just because I want to be friends with Paulie. I had nothing to do with McLovin. I am genuinely
No. Hold on. I made the decision, and it was separate from Mike joining us.
Sure.
Did he maybe expedite things a little bit? He could have. You know, I played hardball with McLovin, and we parted amicably. You know, when couples divorce, they always part amicably, and that's what it was. Like,
is this done? Is this done? You're going to keep your hair. You're going to not do the bet and go with
No. He's shaving his head, but this is not done until Mike's sitting in the front row or in Dan's studio.
Wait, you're not head. Negotiating this deal with me? Like, if my contract lapses, I don't have to shave my head.
Shaving his head. Declares himself agent.
Hey, Mike. 10%? Mike.
Yes, Mr. Patrick.
Mike, I'm somebody who really appreciates great hair, obviously, and I would never mess with your hair.
Wow.
When you come here, I'm going to treat you with respect. You're not a sideshow. You want pomade? I can give you my very own pomade. don't worry about any of this nonsense. Like, I'm sick of the shit that these guys put you through. And this is stuff that you guys talk to me about.
What?
And this you talk through Paulie, through a third party.
This is unbelievable.
Look, I get it.
To me. It's
but look, the gloves are off, Dan.
The gloves are off.
Stop interrupting Mr. Patrick.
Dan, you're getting cucked.
Oh, my God. That's exactly what just happened to us. This is... And why are you saying we are? It's not just me. It's all of us. I do feel like William H. Macy staring in the driveway and Boogie Nights.
Are you offering equity by any chance?
I'm not here to negotiate here with
the
these guys.
Yeah, we won't is do this in the public
done?
Domain.
It's not done yet, though. It's not done now because...
Nobody laid out his case, and it's honestly... The fact that I don't have to cut my hair, and I'll be welcome there, and I get some of that pomade...
But he has you in the back row.
Well, no. You have to understand the back row is elevated. You are on a higher platform than the front row.
It's a heady play.
Is he going to be your executive producer? You're not hiring to make him the executive producer because then you'd have a problem on your hands there, not to cause some unrest among your good soldiers.
Well, you take Paulie then. How about that, Dan?
Whoa.
Paulie's right here. Paulie, you got any problem with Ryan being a co-producer, executive producer?
Yeah, this is an easy transition for us. He's younger than McLovin. He's tall, rangy. We got many more years of Mikey Ryan than McLovin.
I don't have a problem with this. Seton, you got a problem if he's listed as executive or co-executive producer?
No, of course not. I was just talking to HR. They've got a lovely onboarding planned. There's going to be orange juice and bagels, and it's going to be a nice presentation.
Any other seats in that back row?
You guys want to hire a lady?
Bagels.
Are you kidding me?
There a seat in that studio?
We might find out there's a couple other people want to abandon ship there, Lebatard. Just saying.
You could use a lady. Just saying. see you later, Dan Patrick.
Hey, Dan, this is the transfer portal of radio
this
shows.
Is unbelievable.
Just letting you know.
It's infuriating.
Thank you, Dan Patrick.
It is. Wow.
Dan, we have to do something about the Dan.
No, Dan, you're a mentor. I admire you. You helped me with this with ESPN. You told me I could do it if I had a family at my back, but now you're raiding my family. What are you doing?
You said, Dan, you said mi casa, su casa, and I thought
I
that meant
like
everything's
that.
On the table.
Didn't mean it like that. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Everything. Look, I'll never steal Stugatz.
Oh,
I promise
you.
Thank you. I will never, even though
he asked.
He did ask when he was giving me a ride home from your wedding reception.
And I'm certain you got the resume too, right? I mean,
I'm writing into my contract that he can't come with me.
You have to have a resume to send a resume, Stugatz. But look, I will not
get out of here. I'm not talking to you anymore. You and me are not friends anymore. Not friends anymore. We can't be friends. We can't be. You can't.
Are you talking to Mike Ryan or me? I can't tell.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Dan Le Batard.
Hey, Dave.
Stugatz.
What up?
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
This show is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Download the DraftKings app and use code DAN to get in on the action.
I am going to bring to everyone's attention, it had not been brought to my attention. I wish that it had been something that had been on ESPN SportsCenter for the last 3 weeks nonstop, because I saw a play at the end of the Pittsburgh-Virginia bowl game for the first time the other day, walking through the gym, ACC Network sound down. A tape? I had not seen this. The end of the Pittsburgh-Virginia game. I saw so much Pittsburgh football this year. I enjoyed watching Pittsburgh football this
Exciting.
Year.
Exciting,
yes. I mean, their quarterback obviously is good, and they had an offense that could score. But I can't believe that I missed this play, and I think that not enough, because I didn't see it anywhere. The end of the game, Pittsburgh is winning by 10 points. It felt like a Key and Peele sketch. That's what it felt like to me, like something that was that kind of funny. And I hope that I'm explaining it to you guys and that none of you have seen it. It's the end of the game. Virginia's in like 4th and 20. Their quarterback drops back and throws it 50 yards downfield. And the Pittsburgh defensive back jumps up, knocks the ball away. That's the end of the game. That's the end of Pittsburgh's season, Kenny Pickett's season, Virginia's season. The game is over, but it wasn't like it was obvious. The game was about to end, but that was the season ending play that that defensive back made in an obvious bomb passing situation. He gets up and starts dancing with his teammates right in front of the referee. And then, and this is the Key and Peele part, and then right in front of the referee, he crosses his arms and does one of those, you know, stares, the cool stares, just crosses his arm right in front of the referee just to just swagger and I finish this.
You lean back a little
bit. You lean back, yeah. The old hip-hop albums just to give off I'm cool. Right. And he does this right in front of the referee. And the referee takes his flag and throws it sky high as he's preening in front of him. But the player doesn't see that. So the flag starts falling. He doesn't know he's been penalized. He doesn't care. The season's over. And he goes from the preen to immediately putting his hands out in front of himself like a machine gun. And as the flag falls by his ear hole of his helmet, he is spraying the field with imaginary machine gun fire. It was straight comedy. Like you can't do better than that at the end of a Pittsburgh-Virginia game where Pittsburgh is won by 10 points, 23-13. Wouldn't you have wanted to see that as a highlight? Because I can't believe none of you saw this, and I can't believe that I had not seen it.
Are we talking about a play that happened last night or a play that happened during a Hurricanes game in the late 80s?
It wasn't last night. It was, I don't know, whenever bowl season was.
It was in December.
It was weeks ago. But I feel like this is something that once upon a time on the late night shows, Marv Albert would have brought to David Letterman's desk and they would have shown it to America pre-internet because it's high comedy. Like SportsCenter should have been leading. I mean, how funny is that? The flag is falling out of the sky and this guy unholsters his imaginary machine gun and just starts spraying the field.
We were too busy watching a preview of the Alabama-Georgia game for the 45th time on SportsCenter whenever that night was, so missed it.
Nobody cares about that part, though, right? That the television partnership is so strong and the money is so huge that, of course, the Alabama-Georgia everything is a made-for-TV spectacle that makes everyone tons and tons of money.
But then they lament why kids don't want to play in the other bowl games that they totally crap on. They produce all the bowl games. They clearly put all their resources behind the playoff. And then they're the hot dog meme. We're all looking for who did this. They're the reason why the other bowl games have been diluted.
In fact, Kenny Pickett did not play in that game that you were just talking about. I know that because I bet Pitt because of Kenny Pickett, and then I realized that he wasn't playing in the game because ESPN is only promoting a couple of bowl games. They're really not promoting the lesser bowls.
All season long, they spend all football season telling you the college football playoff is the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
Forgive me, guys. I'm not even sure this was a bowl game. I think there's
no way.
Dan, I was trying to follow what was going on. As soon as you said Kenny Pickett, I knew that that wasn't the bowl game.
Okay. The entire machines here have been working to try and find which game you're talking about. We've checked Pitt schedules. We've checked Virginia schedules. We've checked bowl schedules. We don't know what you're talking about.
Have they ever played each other?
You said 21-13, like that was the score.
No, the score was, I thought it was a game played this year, but a regular season game. My bad. You guys, I said it wasn't last night. You guys said it was December bowl games. It was Pittsburgh, Virginia. Pittsburgh won the game 23-13. And this play I'm talking about happened with 2 minutes and 13 seconds left in the game or something like that. It Was it this year? It's I'm watching ACC Network replay at 5:30 in the morning.
Maybe it was a classic. I mean, ACC classics. Who knows? I have Pitt playing Virginia this year. It was Saturday, November 20th, and Pitt won the game 48-38. Is that the game?
No, even better.
What?
Please find. I'm telling you, I don't have this wrong. So now maybe I'm watching a game from 2 or 3 years ago. Oh, and still, I don't understand why I've never seen this highlight. Even better.
I found it.
I think I found it.
2018, Pitt, Virginia. Oh, 23-13.
Yeah. That damn mute.
It was on 5:30 in the morning.
Was John Kongemi the quarterback then?
Matt Schaub.
One of the commentators' name was Cacantera.
I don't, that can't be the way you pronounce it.
I think it's Paul Cacantera. It sounded like Cagalera.
Carcaterra.
How many yards did Tyler Palco have?
Kenny Pickett was the quarterback 3 years ago at Pitt.
It could have been from 1987. Kenny Pickett was
it
a
also might have been Tino Sinceri.
I'm sorry I confused you guys, but yes, I betrayed by the sound being down. Although it really shouldn't have been a thing. I should have been able to recognize. No, are the players that interchangeable? The uniforms that interchangeable? I should have probably been able to recognize.
Really?
Yeah. Don't you think?
Virginia?
I don't know, but Kenny Pickett would have made it difficult, I suppose, right? Because he would have always been dropping back for Pitt.
Only had 61 yards that game.
Oof.
Speaking of swag, did you guys see everything that happened with Trent Williams, who might be my new favorite football player? Trent Williams, the guy who was at Washington and was more competent, Stugatz, in Washington than anyone in the organization was at anything they do. And he had to sit out a year, and he fought over money, and then he ends up in San Francisco. And the offensive line studiers, who know a lot more than us, can make the argument on behalf of he has been the most dominant player all across football, and you can give him Best Offensive Player Award because of just how he has mauled every Chandler Jones or anybody else in his way. Did you see any of the end of that game? What he was wearing at the press conference as an offensive lineman. I have never seen an offensive lineman do this. And as Cowboy fans who were destroyed, tiny Cowboy fans were shooting middle fingers at him. He was just, and he's a giant, pointing at them and laughing, just roaring with laughter at them giving him middle fingers, and then went into the locker room. And how would you describe what he was wearing? Like, was it a fur? It was a lot of gold, a lot of fur, and he looked like something out of 1970s Detroit.
I believe you would describe it as icy, Dan.
But it wasn't just jewelry though. What was the jacket that he was wearing? Because Trent Williams, Stugatz, isn't it funny how disposable the people are in that sport? That Trent Williams could be that kind of dominant, and that people wouldn't know very much about Trent Williams, that we'd be introduced.
We're not paying attention to Trent Williams. We're just not. I mean, the average fan is not paying attention to Tony Boselli, Trent Williams, the Dallas offensive line, the Rams defensive line. We just don't pay attention to that stuff. Like, I'm certain a lot of people don't know that half the Bucs offensive line is going to be out this Sunday for a big playoff game against maybe the best defensive line in the NFL. We just don't pay attention.
I don't think it's that, though, Stugatz. I believe that plenty of people are watching football differently now than they have. I would say to you, and this has been a great evolution at ESPN, Ryan Clark and Dan Orlovsky are helping me understand better what it is that I'm watching on a football field. Now it takes them a minute because all of this is complicated. So it takes them 5 minutes to tell you everything that's happening in two plays. But just so you understand, your larger point is right? We don't really understand. None of us do. This incredible beast, this labyrinth of athletes trying to work all week to get half an inch in a space, you know, on a tight field. We don't actually, you know, a military school for millionaires producing soldiers. And they got to get a yard, and they got to get an inch, and Derrick Henry's out there. And just, it's crazy. All of it is crazy, fighting over these inches. And the way that they do this, as we judge it at home and get mad at so-and-so because he doesn't make a catch or whatever, they analyzed Joe Burrow making a throw in the Raiders game, a
a touchdown throw in the Raiders game, and the safety was cheating the whole way. The safety on the other side of the field, on the other side of the seam, was cheating the whole way, got there at the right time, huge athleticism, diving, but Joe Burrow put it in a place where only his tight end could catch it, and that kind of accuracy is not guardable. There is nothing. There are not humans who
the guy did everything right and still couldn't.
More than that, you see the safety cheating. Burrow's doing everything right. It's not a stoppable play. Even within the science of what these guys are practicing every week to get to these Sundays, Stugatz, right? Because it's warrior spectacle fighting over 10 yards at a time. Some of the best athletes you've ever seen training their bodies all week through pain and everything else to get to that spot an inch faster so he knocks away the ball. Because he knew everything that was happening. He knew what Burrow's options were. They weren't going to chase. They were going down the seam, and they had to. But Burrow, when he dropped back, knows all I got to do is look left. And if I put this where I want to, there isn't a human being who's ever played this sport who can stop it. That it can't be stopped. You had the opposite side safety cheating the whole way. He knows where Burrow's going, and it doesn't matter. Like, that's what you're watching on Sundays, and Trent Williams dominates it. Trent Williams, like no one you've ever seen, but he's another disposable body out there.
But he dominates it in a way that we're really not paying attention to. That's the only point I'm trying to make. I'm certain he might be the most dominating player in the NFL, but we would never know. Because when are you sitting there watching the tackle defensive end matchup during a football game? You're not.
This is what I'm saying to you, though, Stugatz, as just fascinated by what we're watching, that Trent Williams can be that dominant. A star at America's most popular sport in terms of excellence.
Right.
But not meriting stardom in any way that you'd see him in a commercial or anywhere else. No one would know Trent Williams. Size-wise, they might. But if Trent Williams were to walk in your house, we can do this with a handful of quarterbacks, I'm thinking. I don't think Trevor Siemian. We were just talking with David Sampson about why basketball, the mess that basketball has on its hands because it empowered the players. It gave the players power. Basketball made them stars, and in making them stars, gave them inordinate power that football will never give them, as Trent Williams plays in a game that 50 million people watched on Sunday, and Trent Williams can come or go, and no one will notice. You know what I mean? They'll notice because left tackle blindside is all of a sudden, you know, exposed and people are getting back there, they'll notice. But the parts are so interchangeable that 50 million people watch. And this year's had more decimation than any, Stugatz. You don't know which uniforms are going to be out there. You know who's going to be wearing the uniform. It's just get me to that Sunday when 50 million people can go back across the decades to when San Francisco-Dallas was a game that mattered. Because you got to go back decades to find it.
Were you headed down a path where if Trevor Siemian walked into your house, you would not know who he is? Because I think you're right.
The game I wanted to play, actually, because I think we could do this with even Justin Jefferson. The game I wanted to play is what's the greatest level of fame I can give you in football for excellence that if he walked in here right now, a sports show would not recognize him? Like if he just walked in here and didn't tell us who he was, that we would sit there next to him and say, I don't know who that person is. How high do I have to climb in football on stardom? Because I was asking you guys this as it came to fame with the other day with how famous is Tristan Thompson? Like, is he Russell Westbrook type of famous? Did he get famous with some of the outside stuff that doesn't require excellence enough to make him the kind of famous that only the stars in that league get?
I'm trying to think, Mike, if Taylor Heineke walked into these studios, would know?
In these studios, more than any other studio in America, we'd recognize the Green Lizard. Trey Hendrickson from the Cincinnati Bengals.
Excellent,
but you wouldn't recognize him. You would say this guy's big.
Well, let's not do it, though, because I think we could do this with most offensive linemen and defensive linemen. They're almost all interchangeable. I'm asking you guys how high I have to go up on skill positions before it's a face that's so disposable in the disposable sport, because that is really the genius of football, Stugatz.
Yes.
It's salary cap the sport and just make it laundry running up and down, and 50 million people will watch it on 50 million people. Watch Dallas, San Francisco. That's a wild card game.
Two big brands, though. I mean, I understand, right? It's crazy, the numbers. And the ratings are up 10% year to year in the NFL, which is just ridiculous.
But you realize that the genius of the business is that the parts don't actually matter. The parts, as long as I can keep the quarterbacks healthy, which is why they changed the rules when Brady got hurt. Yep. They changed the damn rules. The quarterback's playing a different sport. I got to keep that bigot Papa John in business by putting, you know, white quarterbacks everywhere. The rules, you've heard me say this before, Stugatz, because the rules have protected the pocket passer, so now the pocket is the shape of a pocket, like on the back of your pants. There's very little space. The quarterback's playing a different game because they've been protecting the guys who get the broadcasting jobs, Aikman and Romo, the voices and the faces of this game in a league that's, you know, 60-70% black and now still has only one black head coach because the white guys stay in power ruling the game. Like, that's not up for dispute, right? The Rooney Rule. If you don't want to talk about racism, let's just talk about rules. The Rooney Rule is implemented because they don't know what they're doing, and they need the optics of it, and still everyone moves around it. And they changed the rules at quarterback to make sure that the white quarterbacks got protected and Bill Polian, you know, doesn't see that Lamar Jackson can play the position. MVP.
And why are you taking the rules out on Bill Polian? I'm all for bashing Bill Polian. It was a ridiculous thing to say.
I am saying it is a wonder that this sport succeeds the way it does in spite of itself. It is a miracle that it keeps giving us every Sunday, that it could go from one day to the other. Colin Kaepernick, get out of here, to the next day. Oh, Mahomes says, never mind, end racism in the end zone. Kaepernick's still out of the league. They made the conservative pivot, and they're more popular than they've ever been. They've done so many things wrong, and 50 million people for a wild card game.
They've done so many things wrong. You're right. And I cannot wait for this weekend's games. What a great batch of games you have this weekend. The NFL always wins.
I'd say two of the top receivers in Pro Football Focus's grade rankings you would not recognize if they sat next to you. Two of them. I'd venture to say you probably haven't even heard of one of these names. So number one is Davante Adams. Number two is Cooper Kupp. You'd probably recognize Cooper Kupp now because
I don't know if I'd recognize Cooper Kupp.
And stuff.
I thought Cooper Kupp was like Wes Welker's size.
Yeah, well, he's 6'2". Justin Jefferson, Deebo Samuel. That's your top four. Number five is Deontay Harris. Do you even know where he plays?
Pittsburgh?
Nope. That's Deontay Johnson. This is New Orleans Saints wide receiver Deontay Harris, according to the PFF player grades, is the fifth best wide receiver in the NFL.
Mike, I think I can go higher than that. I don't think a lot of people listening to this would recognize Justin Jefferson.
Probably. I would, but I think most people wouldn't. Most people wouldn't recognize Justin Jefferson.
Is there a quarterback that we would not recognize?
I think quarterbacks, like, they
no
have
one
to
is
be
famous as
one.
Justin Jefferson. But no, like, no if one Davis Mills excellent? Walks in here, we would not know.
You would know that.
I know the neck.
Really?
I know the neck.
But Glennon, for sure.
So are you asking, are there any quarterbacks? Let's think about this.
I think Trevor Siemian is a quarterback that if he walked in here, I would have no idea who he is.
Would you recognize Taysom Hill?
I might, yeah. Might. Remember, he played at BYU for 13 seasons.
All of them against Kenny Pickett. I'm trying to think of their... We can't go up to the quarterback, but to me, the fascination, Stugatz, in the building of the business, it's been really smart, right? Football does always win, does get rewarded. Basketball is now suffering what happens from making all of these guys stars, Stugatz. Like, it took 30 years, it took 40 years for the empowerment to finally reach the players because it started with Magic and Bird. We're going to make them really famous, and you're going to care. And Los Angeles, Boston is going to be something that's passed down to your kids, like San Francisco, Dallas. But in football, it's just the uniforms and the quarterbacks. It's like
And the coaches. I mean, that's it. Really, it's the coaches, too. It's can Andy Reid win a second Super Bowl.
But it's stories. And
it's never stories about Trent Williams, ever.
It's stories and laundry and 50 million people, 49ers, Cowboys, and it is the brilliance of the business. No, they can't screw it up. I don't understand how a lot of guys in ownership who are not terribly bright, Stugatz, and I know many people hearing that assume that your owners are really smart. You assume it because they have a lot of money. But I've met some of these people and been wildly underwhelmed by what the intellect level is just because they have money. They can't screw it up. You've seen, Stugatz, you can agree, right? I think the audience would agree. Man, football has screwed up some big, moral, messy things over the last 10 years.
Yep.
And what?
We're all sitting around watching every Sunday.
And what? Jerry Jones made so much money during the pandemic. And what? They screw up everything at every turn. And it doesn't matter because we love it so much. We're addicted to it so much. The fantasy elements, all of it, the generational elements. San Francisco-Dallas isn't a game that's mattered for 30 years, Stugat.
No, it was nice to see those two uniforms on the field together playing a meaningful game. It was, because growing up, that was a big part of our childhood, those two teams.
Oh, those two uniforms, yes. Clashing against each other.
They're great.
It's gorgeous. An iconic color clash. Yeah. And let me tell you something about color clashes. Mm-hmm. They are the key to an NFL experience. Oh, yeah. If you have a bad color clash, it just won't slap the same way.
Mike has been talking about this for months, and it's annoying. Mike thinks that it is.
I've been talking about this for years.
Niners Packers, by the way,
is a beauty.
That's going to look gorgeous, yes, on television.
Oh, boy.
No, an absolute beauty. Not I got another one.
Not as great as Packers Cowboys would have looked.
Nah, Packers Cowboys slightly better. I will tell you that Chiefs Raiders is one of the best for me.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, because you have two contrasting colors.
Steelers Raiders. You need the colors, Mike?
You need contrasting colors for something to pop. And also something that really matters with a viewing experience, the turf. I hate watching things in that Caesars Superdome that they got over there.
But
in
that
New
SoFi is beautiful.
SoFi.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't
Lucas
matter.
Oil, the turf is weird, too. It's, yeah, like dark.
Oh, I hate the turf at Lucas Oil Field. Hate it. Hate it. Never have a big game there.
How do
it
we feel
like
about
dog poo?
How do we feel about Chiefs Bills in terms of uniforms on the field same time?
No. This could be fine, but it all depends on what the Bills wear. They have an all-white set. They certainly can't go with a red set. They never gone white top, red pants, so we don't have to worry there. You know that what you're going to get with the Chiefs come playoff time. Nothing cute. Now, they could go all red. If they do, then you've got to go white tops, blue pants if you're the Buffalo Bills. It's the only option here. I am so thankful that the Cincinnati Bengals decided on all white, because this could have been disastrous.
You have been. Explain to me what you're doing here. Because
and the Titans going baby blues?
My preference is if there was an orange pants set for the Cincinnati Bengals, unleash that. But you need all white from the Bengals. That is a non-starter for
this,
me.
This is surely something that only happened to me this season, what I'm about to say to you guys, right? Because all of you have more expertise than I do, and all of you are reminding every day that I'm an old person. I saw a Jets-Ravens game this year, and I wasn't totally sure who had the ball.
It's awful.
Are you sure it was from this year?
Yeah.
What team was Joe Flacco playing for?
Wait a minute. It wasn't Joe Flacco that I was looking at.
Which sideline was Rex Ryan on?
I'm trying to go through all the 1999 Kyle Bowler quarterbacks.
Who was Vinny Testaverde? Who was Vinny Testaverde quarterbacking for?
Are you doing Ravens 90s court? Is that what you're doing?
Did this only happen to me? Ravens, Jets, you're watching the game and you don't know which team is which because their uniforms are so similar.
Some teams just make such terrible decisions that it ruins the viewing experience. It's hugely important. I dread the Rams are so bad at this. The Rams wear that god-awful bone-on-bone uniform combination that just looks like they're wearing dirty whites. And they have these gorgeous yellow pants that they rarely go to. They offer the blue pants all too often.
But wait
I just
a second.
Don't like it.
So you know what the Bucks are going to wear? They have their home uniforms.
No, you don't know what the Bucks are going to wear. What did the Bucks wear last week?
It was the red. No.
No.
Red and gold.
They wore white tops at home. The Bucks. You can't get a grip on what the Bucks are going to do for the Super Bowl. They opted for white tops. Now that could have been superstition, right? We've been wearing the white tops all postseason long. Let's keep it going. They were the home team for the Super Bowl, and they decided road white. Playoff game against the Eagles, road whites. You know what they're telling you? We haven't lost a playoff game in these road whites. Right. We're not going to stop now. I fully anticipate, Dan, and this is a Mike Ryan exclusive.
Oh, here we go.
Nice.
Here we go with this.
I fully anticipate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to not mess with the juju. White tops, pewter pants, and we'll see what the Rams do. Blue tops, please go yellow pants for the sake of our eyes.
Those uniforms are the best. It's those 70s uniforms. It's the Dickerson uniforms.
They tapped in. They should have done the Dickerson uniforms.
Yeah. Those uniforms are completely different and they're awful. They're awful.
Well, they're not completely different. They're the same color.
They're the same colors, but they're designed differently. Yeah. Like, I had this problem with the Atlanta Falcons. You had one job, to go back to the Deion Sanders era. Go back to those Dirty Bird uniforms, and they screwed up.
Preach. Those two-tone uniforms are a disaster, and please stop putting the city name on the front of the jersey.
ATL.
I know who's playing.
Steelers have to be in this contest, right? Classic black and gold conjuring championship pass.
You know what
Steelers
was terrible? Cowboys.
But who do you put them against?
Cowboys.
Is Cowboys the best? Is that the best you can do? The white uniforms and the stars. The best you can do across the uniforms in sports.
You're almost guaranteed a good color clash. But look, there was a dreadful Super Bowl that wasn't that bad of a game between the Steelers and Packers. But make me watch that game. I was playing beer pong the entire time. My eyes couldn't take it. Are you kidding me? Both teams wearing gold pants? What is this lunacy?
I'm with you guys, though. The Chiefs, the red is so spectacular.
It's great.
But the Bills got to be careful with this because you can't have this be a clown show. It can't feel like a kaleidoscope of clownery because you've got so many colors out there and none of them look like they're a contrasting color.
White tops, blue pants versus red tops and white pants, we're fine. Don't overthink this. Do not.
It's important, though.
It is hugely important. I'm telling you, do not discount a good color clash for a game. I'm telling you, the Bengals-Titans game is going to be better because the Bengals opted for all white and the Titans are wearing all navy. That is a tough-looking turf over there that they have. Is it Nissan Field anymore? I doubt it. But it's a it's a tough-looking turf. You've seen every bowl game there. They can't scrub out this awful paint job that they have on that pitch. But thankfully, we're getting the best of bad options. Thank God.
Very impassioned, Mike.
Oh, I care
Ryan.
Deeply about this.
Well, but this
thanking God, though.
Deeply but
this.
My point is on the whole thing. My point on the whole thing is, football always wins because whether there are concussion settlements or whether they get everything wrong on Colin Kaepernick and Ray Rice and everything else, they can do everything wrong. But Sunday at 4:25.
Oh boy.
When America across generations needs to get to its television, the uniform colors will entrance and hypnotize America, and we will end up in front of our televisions because, yes, those uniforms look good fighting those uniforms for 3 hours, and then I can argue afterward about a whistle or did he step out of bounds or was a second on the clock or shouldn't have been on the clock. But what I'm getting to is the addiction of the magnet in my television that brings me, ooh, pretty colors.
And that's why you watched a Pitt Virginia game from 2018.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Dan Le Batard.
A recreation of the iconic scene in A Few Good Men, as told by Chris Cody.
Stugatz.
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled to them.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
It is funny how disparate Stugatz and I for a long time have looked at the idea of journalism or where you get your information. But as always, I try my damnedest to figure out a way to win, and Stugatz ends up winning in the end because Stugatz's viewpoint on this for 20 years, I don't care where the information comes from. I don't care how credible or vetted one place is versus the other. I don't have to be that responsible. I am now applying to a story I'm going to read to you from Jordan Schultz, and I ask you guys if Jordan Schultz, who hosts a podcast with CJ McCollum, can be trusted to be correct about what it is that he's saying about Deshaun Watson.
That dude's been trying to be recognized as a newsbreaker. He's been throwing a lot of stuff out there.
Okay, and so I don't know, and forgive me, this is my ignorance. I don't mean to mock Jordan Schultz. I've been wrong. This thing has changed on me so much over 20 years that I'm wrong. You can get your information wherever it is that you get it, and some people who don't work as insiders or don't work at credible publications who do a podcast with CJ McCollum, maybe they could be right about what they're reporting now. I don't know if this is true or not.
Well, most of the stories that he's gone out and reported, it's like a lot of wait and see stuff. You won't get validated on your reports until several months after the fact. It's not like Mario Cristobal is going to be the Miami Hurricanes head coach and a couple hours later you're validated. He's like, Russell Wilson wants out of Seattle, and New Orleans is one of the top destinations.
Don't sleep on the prospect, he writes, of Brian Flores to the hashtag Giants. I'm told John Mara respects and likes Flores, a Brooklyn native, and that Flores would prioritize the G-man job, quote, at or near the top of his list, per a source close to the situation. That's not the interesting part to me, like at all. At all. This is the interesting part to me, and I ask you to explore this hypothetical, and I don't know if it's true, developing story. Deshaun Watson and Brian Flores have been in constant communication trying to navigate a scenario where they go to the same team, per sources. Watson trusts and likes Flores and has been adamant internally that he'd like to play for him next season. Now you can get wronged, football coach, and he comes with a quarterback. Now it can be a free agent package that immediately makes your team something, and he's aligning himself with an alleged sexual predator in order to do it. If that story is true, just as a hypothetical, you've now escalated the stakes on what it is that the Flores-Watson relationship is and what you'd have to be compromising in order to bring Deshaun Watson in, because you really not only want Deshaun Watson, but now you want his coach. Is this true? Can this be true?
Well, do you want the coach because he helps you get Deshaun Watson, right?
But does the coach not immediately become more valuable because he helps you get Deshaun Watson?
Of course it increases his value. How could it not?
If it's a partnership package deal of...
Yes.
Two guys who now have some power combining their forces to come over because your fan base really needs that Giants fan base, Stugatz. You don't think they need somebody in charge who's going to bring them something that can play quarterback?
Yeah, but it could also be held against him, right? As he's trying to get these jobs, it's a massive red flag right now, the Deshaun Watson stuff. You don't even know if he's going to play next year.
But Mike, if he's cleared, if Deshaun Watson is cleared of these charges, okay, and you have the coach.
All 23,
Mike.
And it should be noted, like, no formal charges have been brought against him. These are like,
let's do it this way, okay?
But if your team has the coach that can get the quarterback.
Let me start here, okay? Because I always err. I don't want to normalize where Deshaun Watson exists in this weird purgatory of he's an alleged sexual predator, and now we immediately go to talking about, and what's he worth, and what's his value, and who should get him. And it just goes back to the same thing of a team might trade everything to get those two guys. I'm just interested in the construct of what's entering here. A partnership. What he's reporting is a partnership that you have not seen before, which is not just that I get the Belichick disciple, but he brings with him the quarterback that he wants. And furthermore, I'm selling my franchise's soul to get it because of what the quarterback stands accused of. And I am inviting into my huddle everyone with, yeah, we'll compromise anything in order to win.
And in any other scenario, this would all be considered very clear tampering. As Deshaun Watson is a member of the Houston Texans, and this communication reportedly dates back to Brian Flores' time in Miami, where he was reportedly the driving force behind acquiring Deshaun Watson down here. Deshaun Watson has the power to do this, because you would think, okay, in the scenario where Deshaun Watson is playing next year, multiple teams are interested, it's a free market, do the New York Giants even have the draft capital to pull off such a thing? Well, Deshaun Watson has no trade clause, and that's how he has this level of power.
Mike, I'm fascinated. Okay, if you can somehow get past all the dirty that is here, because the starting point on this is we have no idea if Deshaun Watson is criminally or civilly liable of being a sexual predator. And we have no idea when or if he's going to play or what the legal system is going to do with him. But Brian Flores, if this is true, Brian Flores just made himself the most coveted free agent coaching candidate that is out there because he comes with a quarterback.
He comes armed with a quarterback.
Possibility, right. A relationship possibility that he's right now
a great quarterback
in free agency. He's just surveying his options. Like it's to me, I've been surprised Flores hasn't already been hired. But if he's stepping back to link up so that he can realize a quarterback coaching partnership that we have not seen enter free agency together under the weirdest of circumstances for both of them. I think you're watching something play out with the business mechanics of this that is really dirty. That you will see right now, somebody will talk themselves into, oh, I could do it if you're giving me a coach and a quarterback, and I don't have to trade anything for the coach, and I need a new coach because the Gettleman situation was a total disaster. I got a total clown show. New York hasn't been relevant in football in a minute. Yeah.
They haven't been above 500 in 5 years. 5 years.
Who's willing to sell their soul? Is it the organization that tried to change the rules because it's Wellington Mara's kid?
Well, if you're looking for the best place for it, it's actually Houston because they don't have to give up anything to get Deshaun Watson. They have him there. Therefore, your future is pretty secured because you still have pretty good draft picks. You have a quarterback in Davis Mills. That would be a market for him. I'm not exactly sure what, but he played well enough.
But, Mike, he doesn't want to play there. Deshaun doesn't want to play there. I'm not saying he
hasn't. Deshaun wants to play for Brian Flores, according to this report. If Brian Flores is in Houston, that makes it easy. Now, it may be difficult. While it does make him a coveted free agent in some circumstances, including ones that are desperate for quarterbacks, it could be totally taking them off of candidate lists in other places.
Well, but I would say that the business of this makes that unlikely, especially if he's got the freedom right now that it doesn't have to come that way. He's negotiating what he wants to be his perfect deal. He's got free agency. It's really a great position to be in if you're Brian Flores.
Because he's competing for jobs, too. It's like LeBron wants to sign here, but Dwayne wants to sign here, too, and they got 32.
But do it this way, though, Mike. Just look at it from Brian Flores' agent's position. How do I climb toward progress through all the obstacles that the league puts in the way of people like me? I've learned from Belichick. I'm one of the few Belichick assistants who has shown you anything. And now I'm a free agent, and people are looking for leaders all over, and I've got multiple suitors, and can I make it more multiples by just saying, well, maybe I'd prefer that job. You're not considering me for that job? Well, what if I possibly brought you Deshaun Watson because of my relationship with him? You understand the game that's being played now. This is.
It's a gross game, but it opens up a lot of doors for Flores.
He could also get a better offensive coordinator because that one of his Achilles heel down here in South Florida is no one wanted to coach for him on offense. And that's why he settled on Chan Gailey and the mishmash of offensive coordinators here. If you pursue an offensive coordinator that doesn't have to worry about you being a lame duck coach and gets Deshaun Watson to implement his offense with, it all of a sudden becomes a more likely scenario that he's able to draw a top OC.
But also combine these scenarios, not irrelevant ones, in the quest for power in a league that right now only has one black head coach, and the black head coach is the guy who's coached for 15 seasons and never had a losing one. That's how you stay employed as a black head coach in the NFL. Brian Flores, the way he did it, that's not how you stay employed, even though many of us thought he was wrong. Look at what is possibly being put together here, if this is true, okay? Because I need to hit that one again and again, because there's some character stuff here that's really unpleasant and dirty as you get to the business of it. But if progress for a black man in this sport is that he's gotten a partner with that flawed messenger because he represents value at the most valuable position so that both of them can climb to a place higher, teamwork in black power, because Deshaun Watson's power flex here has been a substantive one. You don't see quarterbacks in their prime say, I don't want to play here anymore.
Yeah, like a quarterback just say, no, Philadelphia Eagles, I know they won a Super Bowl and that's a good NFL city. I'm not going there. And you're wondering, what are your options here, Deshaun? why are you in a position to turn down the Philadelphia Eagles? It's because he wants to explore option A. I fully believe this report. Schultz does seem pretty plugged in, and he speaks with a lot of conviction on these things, and he provides a lot of details. And plus, we know this. about Brian Flores. We know that he wants Deshaun Watson, and we know Deshaun wants to be with Brian Flores, so it would seem obvious.
We know now, though, Mike. You say we know this with Brian Flores.
No, we know this now.
We didn't know, right?
But I'm still not sure what's real there is what I'm telling you. Like,
how many people have to tell you
that? Wait a minute, Mike. No, wait a minute. This isn't right.
You just have an outside source right now. You were asking for more reporting on the Deshaun Watson.
I spent a year being told by every insider that it wasn't Flores on Deshaun, that it was Stephen Ross, every insider. And then Adam Schefter in Instagram says the opposite of that, and that's the truth after a year of something else was the truth.
I mean, Schefter's usually spot on, is he not?
That's a whole another ball of wax, but
I want to stay there for a second, please. Like, please help me stay here for a second. What's true? Like, what's true with Deshaun Watson and Brian Flores? What's true with Deshaun Watson as a criminal? As an alleged criminal?
Well, I think it's fairly obvious what's true, that Brian Flores fancies Deshaun Watson. He took interviews. Look, there's only 32 of these jobs, so it could be pure coincidence that he was pursuing the Houston Texans job. But you have another source now telling you there's something to the Deshaun Watson link.
If Stephen Ross wanted Deshaun Watson, he'd still be here. Flores would still be here, right?
Look, he was reported at the deadline. Stephen Ross was looking for assurances in pursuing this deal for Brian Flores, who got some sort of consensus towards the end, to the point that the owner took over the negotiations, not Greer. The owner took over and didn't get what he wanted from the NFL in terms of answers for Deshaun Watson. Stands to reason that this is the scenario. Is it the only scenario that you get Deshaun Watson? Is it the only scenario in which Brian Flores would choose you amongst his options? I don't know.
How gross is it, though?
Super.
Yep.
It's only gross because of what's going on with Deshaun Watson and those allegations. Well, otherwise, you'd be on board, tampering and all.
No, but I would say what happened with Flores was pretty gross, too. Like, there's just a lot of gross around this. The smear campaign, the Flores being fired, and then all of a sudden the organization going to great lengths to give you every detail anonymously on what a mean, awful person he was.
The skating amongst your fan base because everybody was blaming the owner instead of you for being the driving force behind Deshaun Watson. You have to take that into account.
But it's all ugly, and I don't know what the truth is, it's all dirty and we don't know the truth.
Brian Flores could give us his version of the truth. He hasn't.
But it seems, if you believe this report, not only does it behooves him to not say anything right now. Right now, he's just wronged the guy. There's nothing good that comes from him giving us his version of events. Because
you don't think the absence of a denial on some of these reports?
He's the wrong coach right now, Mike. Brian Flores, Mike, if he didn't get along with the Dolphin organization, if he was mean to everybody, Brian Flores is Tim Robbins in Shawshank Redemption. He crawled through miles of shit, and he comes out clean on the other side. He's got legitimate power right now. He hasn't taken a credibility hit, even with the smear campaign. Football's looking at that like, yeah, well, what, he's mean? Okay. I mean, okay.
No, he has a lot more credibility than the Dolphins organization does.
He got out clean.
So if it's a he said with Brian Flores and Stephen Ross and the Dolphins, after 3 years in Miami, like, no, Brian, you weren't the problem there. We trust you.
And Brian Flores what are the other assistants? Is it Mangini? Like, what are the other assistants?
Well, Vrabel has Belichick ties.
Okay, yep. Vrabel, fair enough, but not an assistant.
He
was a player for him.
Yeah, I don't know if he was on that staff. He went to, college and really
I don't think Vrabel
there.
Was on that staff with Bill Belichick.
But he's often referred to as a Belichick guy.
Fair enough.
But the fact that he has a distance is obviously
Vrabel has done some healing to the Belichick tree. He has poured a little fertilizer on it by being near the defensive Patriots huddled. But if you dominate the sport for 20 years, I mean, the Houston Texans are in this mess right now, and who is leading them is the Patriots' former team chaplain. Everybody who worked for the Patriots got hired by somebody in that league.
Outside of Vrabel, who has this funny attitude, yeah, you have something on Vrabel?
Well, he played for the Patriots. Like, that's not part of Belichick's coaching tree. He never coached under Bill Belichick.
I understand, but Belichick's field general, but that's fair.
Put it on the poll, please, Whittingham. Are you surprised that Stugatz cares about the tree?
No, you have to care about the integrity of the tree. You have to, but most Belichick guys have the reputation that Brian Flores, with all these leaks out of Miami, have. Ornery, not people persons. They come in with this bravado.
Bob Kraft referred in the book, the Wickersham book, as to Belichick as that asshole. Like, it's not, I mean, okay. And,
they're not pleasant people.
And what?
Patricia, like, the list goes on and on of all these assistants that have left there coming in with that Belichick swag, and it doesn't work without the credentials.
But he's got it, is what I'm saying. And now he's got a piece that he can play with, and all of it should make you feel dirty and uncomfortable, and all of it will have us addicted to the television on Sunday. Day paying attention to the shining colors.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds I'm gonna go out there, I'm gonna crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.